everybody, and welcome to Talk with Francesca. All right, just when you thought you had your financial planning under control, you just might not. Gary Stone, expert on financial matters, he is the author of Blueprint to Wealth. Today, plan to walk away with a lot more insight into the world of investing and its myths. With 25 years of experience compiled into one book, Gary's going to make sense of financial planning and share why diversifying your portfolio might not be the way to go. Welcome, Gary, and thanks for joining us on Talk with Francesca.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on, Francesca.
I know that this is ungodly early for you in Australia, so I will... I will try to keep it interesting.
It's not a problem at all.
So, Gary, you say that in just 15 minutes quarterly, you can build enough for your retirement. So let's go for it. I mean, 15 minutes every 3 months, that doesn't seem like much work to build a retirement. So share with us why or what we would need to do.
Okay. Yeah, well, I guess people have perceptions about investing in the stock market as being extremely difficult. There's lots of research to do into stocks and to read balance sheets and profit and loss statements and annual reports and try and project into the future what a company's going to do. And that takes hours and hours and hours of research. And whilst that may have been the way that professionals and even individuals have had to do it in the past, There's an instrument that's been around for, some 40 years, but the one I'm going to talk about 20 years now, called an exchange-traded fund.
Oh, an ETF.
The acronym for this. An ETF, that's the acronym. And whilst they've been around for some time, people haven't really embraced them to the extent that is perceived to be embraced. The research shows that there's about 15 to 16% of America's retirement money invested in an exchange-traded fund or an index mutual fund. And this is the way people can actually simplify the whole process by embracing an exchange-traded fund.
So, wait, is it an index fund, index mutual fund, and an ETF the same thing? I'm confused.
No, they're not. They're similar. An index mutual fund is basically a fund that mimics or tries to track the index as close as possible, mm-hmm. But that's not listed on the stock exchange. And whilst that's been around, in fact, they had their 40th birthday, Vanguard had their 40th birthday last year, an index ETF is actually listed on the stock exchange, which allows it to be more accessible. But more importantly, index ETFs have lower fees, mm-hmm. annual fees, than what index mutual funds do.
Mm-hmm. Well, good, because I have a financial planner, and he loves ETFs, so that's good to know. So
absolutely. As long as he doesn't charge you huge fees to help you manage your ETF investment.
Actually, you know what? Speaking of which, I know that financial planners, a lot of them charge anywhere from a low of, you know, maybe a half a percent to 1% to as high as 2%. However, a long time ago, I don't know, it was a guest I had way back when, you know, turned me on to. That's just, it's crazy. I mean, because you just can't ever really get ahead with that. And it's best to find someone who... either charges you by the hour or an annual fee. The guy's really, really reasonable. He's great. But no, I wouldn't pay 1% or 2%. And I also wonder about those financial planners that, you know, aren't they recommending products that they probably also make a commission on?
Well, they do. That's the majority. So the majority of financial planners and investment advisors, more particularly investment advisors, they're the ones that actually help with your investment. Financial planners, and this is the message without getting into too much detail, is that people should avoid paying fees, percentage-based fees on the amount of money they have to invest, because those fees scale up in absolute terms based on how much money you have to invest. What they should do, as you just said, is pay the same way as other professional environments like accountants and lawyers charge, is by the hour. And that way, people will pay, particularly people with large amounts of money, will pay actually less in fees. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the points of the book, is that investors have been fee-fleeced for decades by this percent of what I call funds under management or assets under management, percent of FUM or percent of AUM is what actually eats into your retirement savings over the long term. Mm-hmm. To give you an example, 0.75%, 0.75% for somebody in their 20s who might pay 0.75% more in fees either to a financial advisor or to mutual funds or whatever, which is small because people would probably be paying close to 2%, but just 0.75% per annum over 40 years, starting with an amount of $15,000 and making contributions of, say, $5,500 a year, will pay $520,000 more in fees than somebody that just invested directly into an index ETF.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And so, all right, so in 15 minutes every 3 months, tell us what, practically speaking, what do we do?
Okay, well effectively, whilst it might seem like there are lots of ETFs to choose from, and there's some 1,700 odd listed on the New York Stock Exchange, first of all, people have got to stay away from what are called active ETFs, and they're just mutual funds that are masquerading as an ETF. You've got to stick to index ETFs. That's the first message. And when you start doing the research, and this is what the book's done, it actually only comes down to a few ETFs that people should focus on over the long term. So we're talking about people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and maybe even their early 50s that are investing for 15, 20, 40 years, whatever it may be, on a buy and hold basis. So they're effectively going to buy an ETF. My favorite ETF is the S&P 400. Which is code. There's two of them, M for Bunny, DY, MDY, and the other one is IJH, India Juliet Hotel, and I prefer.
Wait, you're going too fast. So hold on. Say those again. Yeah, start with NDY.
M for Bunny, MDY.
MVY.
No, D for Daddy, M for Mummy, D for Daddy,
yep.
Y.
Oh, okay, uh-huh.
And India Juliet Hotel, IJH.
Uh-huh. I'm writing these down. I hope your listeners are too. Go ahead.
And these are two exchange-traded funds that that track the S&P 400 mid-cap index.
Uh-huh.
And what over the long term, for instance, over the last 20-odd years, or 20 years, the S&P 400 index with dividends reinvested have just about matched the Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway company, BRK, listed on the stock exchange. So, and he's up there. Well, we all know Warren Buffett is. So the point is that every quarter. So what somebody would do is they'd buy, say IJH. I prefer IJH because with some brokers you can actually buy IJH commission free, so $0. You don't have to pay any commission, mm-hmm. Any brokerage, and every quarter you just take. You set up an IRA. A lot of people have IRAs, mm-hmm. And every quarter you take your contributions that you're making to your IRA, just lump them up into three or four months. It could even be every 4 months, and you just buy some more IJH and never sell. And then the dividends, if the broker has a DRIP, a DRIP, which is a dividend reinvestment plan, you can just whenever the dividends are paid, you just automatically buy some more, or you can have it paid into your account in cash, and every quarter when you take your contributions, you sum it up and just buy more IJH. Now, the beauty of this is that an index ETF will never go to zero. I mean, we don't know that the banks could get disrupted or whatever companies, people, or even biotech companies, all sorts of large companies that are now listed on the stock exchange. Apple's business could get disrupted. It's been through three or four occasions where the stock's fallen 80%. Over its lifetime, so whereas and it could go to zero. We don't know. Apple could get disrupted. Who's to know? Apple will be around in 30 years' time. So the point is that an index ETF will not go to zero.
Interesting, Gary. I'd like to switch gears here a little bit and talk about women in particular. Women and men look at money differently. Can you explain how that is?
Yeah, well, I think from the experience I've had over the last 25 years, and I've got a little bit more than that, and I've got a colleague in the investing industry here in Australia who we've done joint seminars and that together, and I've seen her train people and her investment processes. And I think the things that I've heard her talk about as well and mentor people and the discussions we've had about it and certainly my customers as well. I've had women customers for well over 20 years. And the things I've noted in discussions with them as well is that women seem to play the main role of being the motivator in a household to actually look at these long-term investments that households need to make for their retirement.
Why do you think that is?
Seem to play in the, well, I think you know, the women play the homemaker role and need to know that the different aspects of the household life are taken into consideration. So there's the physical aspect of of health. There's the there's obviously the mental aspect. There's the children, and there's this thing about finances. How do we get our finances in mm-hmm. order for now and for the future? Mm-hmm. And whereas men just want to, they just zoom in on what they've got to do, and off they go. Mm-hmm. So women tend to have this big picture perspective better than what men do.
What would you say the biggest mistake women make with their own retirement savings if let's say they're single?
Yeah, well, I think you know, women are perceived to be more emotional than mm-hmm. men, mm-hmm. and you know, emotion is not a good thing in investing. It's the whole idea of having a process, which is I talk about in the book, and it's one of the ideas that people should have is they should establish processes for their investing and habits. Like we just spoke about, a very simple one every quarter, just you know, doing the simple action of buying some more of your index ETF. But the way to overcome emotion is to establish process, and that's what women should do, because they once processes are established, you know, it's been shown in lots of studies and that women are far better at following process than what men are, mm-hmm. and this is another reason why women tend to be better investors than men. Once the process has been established, they will execute it far better than men. Men tend to, you know, knee-jerk react to particular situations and add discretion when they shouldn't, particularly discretion that hasn't been tested or vetted in any way. And that's what makes women better investors once the process is actually mm-hmm. established.
Speaking of that, I mean, process, you claim that diversification is a poor risk management strategy. I know for myself, I've always been told that it's the way to go. We do need to take a short break, but when we come back, I would love to hear your thoughts on that. So stay with us here, listeners. We will be right back.
Are you looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you'll want to dine at Terra Mia's. This North End Italian restaurant provides a simply divine culinary experience and, as quoted in Zagat's restaurant guide, pastas without compare. And it's reasonably priced. This North End gem will keep you coming back. Terra Mia is simply the best Italian restaurant in all of Boston. Call 617-523-3112, 617-523-3112, or terramiarestaurante.com.
All right, we are back, and I'm speaking with Gary Stone, and we are talking about financial planning and retirement. Welcome back, Gary.
Good to be back with you, Francesca.
So I was really surprised that you claimed that diversification is a poor risk management strategy. I mean, you know, I have heard for years, diversify, make sure you have a diversified portfolio. That is the entire financial planning world's way of thinking. Am I wrong? I mean, pretty much, that's what they tell you to do, diversify, right?
You are correct. It's diversify. And by the way, it's so difficult. This whole world of financial investing is so difficult, and diversification and asset allocation and how much to... And asset allocation is the real key to your long-term overperformance and doing well. And it's so hard. You have to come to us and pay our fees. Otherwise, you know, you're just going to drown out there.
And you're saying that's not the way to go.
Yeah, well, it isn't, because particularly for long-term, diversification is an excellent risk management strategy for investing horizons up to probably 7, maybe 10 years maximum, but particularly for 1 to 3 years out. And you know, this is why investment advisors and financial planners will sit down with their clients and say, what is your investment horizon? How far out are you looking? But when it comes to retirement, and now this is a multi-decade investing proposition. Now you're talking about 20, 30, 40, and even you know, people in their 20s now, 50 years probably, because the retirement age is going to be maybe 70 or 75 by the time they get there. And then they're going to have, you know, 20 or 30 years of retirement as well. So we're talking about multi-decade investing here. And diversification is not the best risk management strategy when you're talking about investment horizons of over 10 years. Because the whole reason that's put forward as to why people should diversify is this dreadful thing called volatility of the stock market. And you have to protect yourself against it.
Oh, the dreadful stock market. I mean, people are scared of that stock market. But it has traditionally always outperformed other investments, no?
Everything, you know, and even property, and that may be a discussion for another day, because I know there'll be a lot of people listening that they'll be shocked to hear that. But you know,
more than property, the stock market outperforms property.
Absolutely, because there's.
Then we should all rent and put our money into the stock market. Is that what you're saying?
There's a thing I talk about, a ratio I talk about, which is the return to effort ratio. And when people talk about the returns on property, you know, the United States properties had a wonderful run since the bottom of 2008. But managing a property, there are a lot more costs. You know, I've just spoken about IJH, where you can effectively every quarter, so just 15 minutes a week or an hour a year of your life with zero cost. You can go to, there's three or four brokers in the United States, and I'm talking about large ones like Fidelity, that they charge you zero commission. So you have no cost. There's no insurance cost. There's no time cost. You know, there's no rental property cost. There's no maintenance cost. There's no realtor cost to actually look after your property, et cetera, et cetera. All these costs add up massively, but the biggest cost that property investors don't account for is their time. Now, property investing, where you have a secondary and a third, fourth property where people invest in property, now, per property, it's estimated to take up between 1 and 200 hours a year of your time. And what investment property investors don't account for is that 1 to 200 hours of their time. Now, add that up at whatever, somewhere between $50 and $150, maybe $200 an hour, and deduct that off your returns. And suddenly, you're looking at a situation that the returns, the net returns, are way less than that in the stock market.
Yeah, totally different question. You know, now that Trump is president, what will that change the Americans' financial strategies for options?
Yep.
How so?
And so you're talking about exchange-traded options, or?
No, what I'm just wondering is, now that we have this new president, will our financial strategies have to change at all?
No,
I don't think so.
There's no doubt that in the short term, there's a huge magnification on the change of president.
Right.
And you know, if you look back over the years, who the president has been has not had that much effect on the stock market.
Right.
Now, the point I make is that there are literally millions of variables, and a huge number of those millions of variables are geopolitical. Variables as well that affect the stock market. So there's, and the point I make is that any single variable at any given time can have, you know, just take for instance a natural disaster, can have an effect on the stock market in the short term. But in the long term, the movement of the stock market is determined by the net aggregate, either positive or negative, of all these variables. All these, think of them as being a big cauldron bubbling away, if you like. Mm-hmm. And what the net aggregate effect of the positive or negative is on any given day or even any given week or month, and if the positives outweigh the negatives, of which the president is one of those variables, then the stock market's going to rise. If the negatives outweigh the positives of all these variables interacting with each other, then the stock market's going to fall. And the president of the United States of America is just one variable. Mm-hmm. Sure, he can get, you know, him being a variable. Can be magnified in the short term, but over the long term, all the other variables, the positive ones, are really going to overwhelm him as an individual.
You know, Gary. You know, obviously, it was, I guess, 2008 when we had that horrible crash in the market. And you know, a lot of my listeners are 40s on up, a lot in the 50s, and. A lot of these people, they have concerns that, you know, they can't afford to have another one of those and buy and hold kind of thing. That's a concern of theirs. So how does one protect their nest egg from the next severe bear market?
Okay, great, great question. Because you know, this is really getting right to the nitty-gritty of it, because we spoke about volatility earlier and diversification. It's this fear of another 56% fall that the stock market had in 2008 is what people try and protect against. Now, for people that have got more than, say, 10 years to retirement, so we're talking about, 55 to 57 and less, mm-hmm. The average time with dividends reinvested for the stock market to recover its entire large fall, and this is data going back over 120 years, the average time is about 4.5 years. So that having a big picture perspective mindset of investing in an index ETF, which can't go to zero, stocks can go to zero. You know, we had WorldCom and Enron, large companies, listed companies, Kodak. These businesses can get disrupted, or they can have bad financial management, or whatever. You know, there's lots of different reasons that companies can go under. An index can't go under. It's rigged to go up, because when stocks fall out the index, when stocks fall, like the ones I just mentioned, Lehman's is another one, they fall out the index before they go to zero. On the way down, they fall out of the index, and they get replaced with another stock, which is rising. So an index is rigged to go up. So if you invest in an index ETF, it's not going to go to zero. So you don't need to fear this volatility or a big fall if you have a big picture mindset and a multi-decade investing perspective. However, there's this other risk called sequence of returns risk, which basically says that the closer you are to retirement, or if you're even in retirement, but the closer you are to retirement, if there's a large stock market fall, it's going to have a far bigger effect on you than somebody who's got 15, 20, 30, 40 years to retirement, because they're not going to have time for their investments to recover. So that is where, and you'll notice the title of the book is Blueprint to Wealth, Financial Freedom in 15 Minutes a Week. And that's the 15 Minutes a Week strategy I talk about, where people are getting closer to retirement, say within 10 years, start timing the index ETF. So they actually do what we call low-effort, near-passive timing, where they might exit and re-enter the index on maybe 2 to 3 times a year to protect themselves against a large fall.
And how do they time that? I mean, how do they know how to do that?
Okay, timing, again, this is the financial fraternity and industry and establishment, the elites, if you like, of the financial world are people that would say it's impossible to time the market. And they'll also say, therefore, you've got to diversify. So the themes of my book are you can time the market, and you shouldn't overdose on diversification when you're taking this long-term view. So how do you time the market? Well, there's some simple, my world is the world of technical analysis, or charting, people may call it. And there are some very simple techniques that people can apply, whereby they're not sitting there watching the screen all day, but what they are doing is every other day or once a week, they're looking to see if the market has fallen to a point where they say, hold on, this small retracement is what we call it, could actually turn into a big retracement. So we're not going to hang around to find out whether there's going to be a big or a small fall. We're just going to cut out of here and go into cash. And if you're doing this, for instance, with a single ETF or one or two index exchange traded funds, you don't have a whole portfolio to liquidate and to pay brokerage to do that. You can do this with a single ETF, so just one trade, 3 or 4 times a year, or 2 to 3 times a year, and you can do it with zero commission. So you can sell your entire holding in IJH and then repurchase it maybe 2 or 3 months later, or 4 or 5, or even a year later, and not pay any commission to do that, and protect yourself against a large fall. Just one trade to get out, another one to get back in.
Well, Gary Stone, thanks so much for being with us today on Talk with Francesca. We are going to give away a book. Gary, you've popped one in the mail, have you not?
Yes, we have.
Yeah. Okay, so the 5th emailer to info@talkwithfrancesca will get Gary's book. And but the rest of you, pick it up at Amazon. And the name of the book again, Gary, is
Blueprints to Wealth. Financial Freedom in 15 Minutes a Week. And there is a website as well, Francesca, which is blueprinttowealth.com.
Oh, fantastic.
And you can, and it'll link off from there to go to Amazon as well. But there's further information. There's a video of me being interviewed by Jack Gansk Canfield about the book as well.
So oh, wonderful, wonderful, fantastic. Well, thank you. And again, I appreciate you getting up so early today. So thanks again for being on Talk with Francesca. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, take care.